Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three, DNC, the Larry Lucchino Report, is brought to you by Fred C. Church Insurance, where it's not just the policy, it's the people. The president, CEO of the Boston Red Sox, Larry Lucchino, joins us on the phone lines. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good morning, John Dennis. I'm fine. Thank you.
Hey, I made the analogy in the first hour that watching last night was sort of like Felix Hernandez came to Dice K's birthday party, stole all the presents, and sat on the cake.
Yeah, well, he certainly did steal the show last night. There's no doubt about that. But he's an impressive young pitcher. And I think one of the morning paper writers said that we're going to see several more matchups between these two guys during the course of their respective careers.
Yeah, well, the good news is you don't have to deal with him for very long. He just turned 21, so he's almost done, I'm pretty sure, at that age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey. He's impressive. And we realized once the Mariners' schedule was changed so much because of the weather that we were likely to face him in the Dice K first game at Fenway. But it was nonetheless an extraordinarily exciting evening. All of the pregame festivities and the march up, the anticipation, and then to see the kind of quality pitching that we saw. The game was a quick game, which I always like when we get back to old-fashioned baseball with strong starting pitching and a fast pace to the game. It just didn't turn out the way we wanted it to turn out because we ran into an extraordinary young pitcher.
Larry, in your estimation, will the appointment viewing mentality about Dice K dissipate as the season goes on, or will every Dice K start at Fenway Park be an event?
I think that it will dissipate a bit. I think that's only natural human nature. There's a newness about it. There's a public obsession about it, both here. We certainly anticipated that would be the case in Japan. I think we underestimated the reaction that it is generated in the United States. But I do think it will continue for a while, but I hope at some point it becomes a little bit less of an event so that we give this young man a chance to be just a major league pitcher.
Hey, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, foresight and vision in sports, and it's kind of a cliche, but in this case, I imagine, Larry, that right now in San Francisco, they're kicking themselves, and in L.A., they're kicking themselves saying, we spent all that money on Barry Zito, and they got that guy for less, and they got that buzz and that hysteria for less than we did. He's younger. He's probably better than our guy. In L.A., they got Schmidt. In Kansas City, they got Mesh. And a lot of teams spent a lot of money on pitching. You seem to spend a lot of money on pitching and got more than just a pitcher.
Well, I think that is the way we view it, Jerry. We have a sense that he was the best pitcher available on the market. But there was a lot of uncertainty as to how to acquire him. You know, with the other pitchers available, it was the standard free agent route, and they could perhaps be a little more certain of the outcome. The blind auction element of the Dice K Matsuzaka transaction, I think, just fooled a lot of people.
Well, do you think they're kicking themselves now?
I hope they are.
Yeah.
I certainly hope they are. I think that, but again, it's so early in the season. We do have a fair bit of data, both about his poise, his preparation, his stuff, to reach some conclusions about him. Zito is a known commodity. Schmidt is a known commodity. These guys are going to be solid pitchers.
But
you get them. They're also at a different age and stage of their career, which is another appealing factor about Dice K with the 26 to 33, 34 prime right in front of him.
Here's what we heard in the offseason, though, that, oh, he's got great stuff, but who knows how he'll handle, you know, the major leaguers or the life in the major league. I'm saying, I thought the one known thing, the one constant, was his ability to handle pressure and be able to perform on the big stage, under the spotlight. I stuff, who knows, but I knew he had that kind of ability to deal with all those external factors.
Well, that was exactly the analysis that Craig Shipley, our vice president of international scouting, who was the person in our organization who followed Dice Cave the most diligently.
So he gets the credit.
Well, he gets an enormous amount of credit for it. There's no question about it. He was in Japan with John Diebel, who's another one of our international scouts, and I think they felt like they lived at the Cebu Lions ballpark. They saw a lot of games than they did the year before that. But the conclusion that Shipley, who's a former major league player, reached, he would always start with comments about his poise, Daisuke's poise, his focus, his maturity, his tenacity on the mound. And it was the characterologicalist aspect of the guy that initially appealed to him, in addition, of course, to all the, the command of all the off-speed pitches that he has that makes him so tough to hit. But I can't remember a meeting about him that didn't at some point either start with or include a reference to the characteristic that you're talking about, Callahan.
Larry, when the posting fee was announced and then ultimately the $103 million was calculated, most observers said, well, you know what, it's more than $103 million for a pitcher. It's much more than that. It's ancillary things. It's incalculable benefits and results. And I'm wondering, and I know it's early, what behind-the-scene things have already taken place with the dawning of the Dice K era that we may not be aware of?
Well, first of all, our reaction to those assertions that there was this pot of gold at the end of this rainbow.
Those are your words, not mine.
I understand. Okay. Where it's always skeptical. There certainly are advantages to the internationalization of baseball, to the internationalization of Red Sox Nation. They're somewhat incalculable. In both senses of the word, they are also, but they're important nonetheless. Mm-hmm. But the international revenue, the revenue that was often referred to by Daisuke's agent, we always thought it was somewhat illusory because so much of it, so much of the excitement that we're talking about in Japan and in Asia was going to be translated into dollars that would flow to Major League Baseball because Major League Baseball retains the rights to all international marketing and all international activity, and consequently that would be shared 1/30th with all the clubs. Having said that, we did underestimate the excitement in Boston, in New England, in America for Daisuke Matsuzaka and the sort of phenomenon surrounding him. So there have been sponsors and certainly a fan frenzy that has been beneficial to us, and I hope will sustain itself for some time. I've kept saying, this guy's in the first year of a six-year contract, folks. Let's be a little bit patient. You know, he was not undefeated in Japan. He's not going to be undefeated here. And let's let it play out over the next few years to see how smart we were or how foolish we may have been.
It's funny. I heard somebody ask Theo yesterday on the big show if he felt vindicated because of J.D. Drew's start. And I'm thinking, even if you're a total emotional guy, you're not going to feel vindicated after a week. I mean, it's baseball. You guys are trained not to overreact to one day, one week, or even a month. These guys, he's got a 5-year deal. Daisuke has a 6-year deal. When can you stamp these things, successful transactions?
Well, you're right. The talk show hosts are
they're
trained
the worst.
To focus on the first, yesterday's news, yesterday's event, and make it as big and meaningful as possible. And you try in baseball to have a longer-term perspective. We had a number of Japanese folks at the game last night. The Japan Society of Boston was there. We had the Consul General there, and we were talking about the different perspectives at the risk of overgeneralization, but the different perspectives that that one gets from Japan in terms of a long-term relationship, long-term transactions, long-term approaches to things, and that comports quite well with my view of the way you have to look at baseball.
Hey, were you out there like Simon Legree with the whip in the last hours leading up to opening day to get that place done? Because people who saw it about 20 minutes before the doors opened said, it's cutting it pretty close here.
We've got a very good team working on it. And this being our sixth year, we're sort of used to the frenzy of, that occurs in late March and early April. We know when we start in October, it's a little like knowing when you go to graduate school and they tell you it's going to take you have 8 years to get your dissertation.
Right.
A friend of mine said when he was registering, I just want someone to note that I'll be up all night the last night of the eighth year finishing it. And he told him that when he got there, and we sort of recognize that every October. So, this year it seemed even more chaotic and even more
cutting it close.
Unfinished. Yeah. But the place does look great. The new third base deck. I think people are going to love the expanded press box.
By the way, you did a very nice job with the smoked shrimp at that Jordan's deck party prior to the thing. It was very nice, Larry. Mita Perel and I really enjoyed
did
that
part. Did he smoke
well,
it himself?
I think he smoked the shrimp himself. Yeah.
Thank you. Were you guys on the guest list?
We snuck in.
We wore
those dishwashing aprons and snuck in the back. Hey, if we're going to give Craig Shipley credit for Dice K, all right, we'll give Theo credit for
can't say Beckett.
JD. No, we're going to give Larry
credit for Beckett.
For Beckett.
And Theo for JD Drew.
We like to assign credit to.
Yeah, that's a flawed way of looking at it, of course, because these decisions require so much collaboration and debate. But you're right to focus on Theo and Craig with respect to their persistence.
Give you all the blame for letting Hanley Ramirez go. So we need I need to know who gets credit for sponsoring babies who are born at the hospital. Yesterday we read the latest, and we always wondered, what's the next revenue stream that the Red Sox come up with, and we find out they're like diapers with the Red Sox stamp on. What hospital was that, Beth Israel?
We have been talking about that since we got here at various marketing meetings.
You have.
I think it
diapers?
Was probably Mike D and Sam Kennedy who got it done, because they work most closely with BID, Beth Israel Deaconess, our official hospital, and the folks over there, Paul Levy, and the people there are passionate Red Sox fans. But we have, since the day we got here, been intrigued by the notion that someone born in Boston, New England, should have as a birthright a membership in Red Sox Nation.
How come John Harrington never thought of that?
No.
Just tell us before you go, Larry.
John Harrington did think of Nesson, though.
One.
Give some credit for that.
Yeah, but he didn't hire Hazel May. That's the key there. What one promotional idea have you rejected that as maybe too crass or?
Oh boy.
Not dignified enough for you guys.
We reject a lot. We have this thing in the off season we called Revenue Thursdays, where we'd get together every Thursday and people would have to come in with new revenue ideas. And that's all we're going to focus on for the afternoon. Come in with your ideas. We want wild and crazy ideas.
Well, give us the dumbest one Mike D's ever come up with.
I'll give you one. We were going to replace the visitors' bullpen. We were going to make that put the visitors' bullpen somewhere else, maybe behind the their clubhouse or something, and have fans sit in the visitors' bullpen. So what the hell? It's only the visitors.
And so you'd never know who was warming up?
Yeah, you wouldn't know. But the thing would sell you get 30 people in some group area out in the visitors' bullpen.
With a pool, would there be
baseball might get offended by that notion that we treat our bullpens differently.
Would there be a swimming pool or a hot tub?
No, we draw the line at anything that becomes a little too non-traditional. The idea of Fenway Park with a swimming pool, jars your sensibilities.
Yeah, but Larry, if you came up with Red Sox diapers, didn't somebody suggest like Red Sox condoms or something that you had to reject?
No. He rejected?
That specific suggestion has not yet been made, but we'll have Revenue Thursdays next offseason.
I'll
look into that.
I'll bet you they thought of having people in the wall, but they said, no, that's Callahan.
Oh, we did hear that.
That's
yes,
Callahan's
that.
Idea. We yeah, don't want
right.
to, you know, we don't
right.
want to.
I'll give you another one. Not only people sitting in the wall behind glass, but how about people having the right to bury of people in the wall to create a kind of burial ground so that people could buy a right to a burial plot in the wall.
Now, ashes or full caskets?
We didn't get that far. I think they were talking mostly about ashes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, that would spook Manny really.
Well, we thought that meant.
Hey, I was pretty sure monster.com or whatever it is would be on the wall and not, what is it, Cervidian, which is the old Tyco?
Covidian. Yes.
What did that set them back?
Would be a good spot for monster.com, and they are it's still a possibility of them doing more with us. But
our bid was
Covidian was very very eager, very aggressive to participate in our charitable activities.
So Jerry's and my bid to put Dennison Callahan on the wall of $200 obviously was trumped by Covidian. How much did we lose by, Larry? What that set him back?
You lost by let's say orders of magnitude.
Seven figures?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Wow, life
did you
is
say
good.
Seven figures?
Seven figures.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we lost by at least a million, Jerry.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My. Oh, yeah.
And I was ready to go to 250, too. All right. We'll let you go. So you're going to make the fans come out in the rain the way you always do. Get their money, get them to buy all the hot dogs and the beer, and then send them home, right?
That was a very tough call on opening day this week. The idea of whether we should.
Day night.
Follow the forecasts, which we have sworn we wouldn't do when we've been fooled by the weather forecasts in the past. We contemplated the idea of a day-night doubleheader yesterday, but the idea of giving people 12 hours notice that instead of coming Thursday at 4 o'clock, they were expected to come Wednesday at 1 o'clock, and we're going to tell them that on Tuesday at late afternoon.
No, I can't do that.
You just can't do that. There was no easy choice there. So we're going to wait as long as we can to try to get this in, this being Seattle's only visit.
Hey, Monday doesn't look good on Patriots Day.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's always an exciting day because for so many reasons. But this is supposed to be a 10 o'clock start on Monday morning, and we may face some snow if the weather forecasters are to be believed.
No, Al Gore says it's going to be 88 and sunny. And you love him.
Well,
right?
We should talk sometime, Callahan, about global warming. I get a feeling your head is buried very deeply.
I could enlighten you. Your head's buried somewhere on Al Gore's body.
You're the climatologist expert that you are.
I am. Yes, I am.
It does help to be an expert on all subjects.
That's why we have him here.
Yeah.
All right, Larry, good talking to you.
Goodbye, guys.
Take care. Larry Lucchino, brought to you by Fred C. Church Insurance, where it's not just the policy, it's the people.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.